Okay? All right. Kind of like a strategic plan. Who here has got the plans for the next maybe 2, 3, or 4, or 5 years in writing? Okay. Okay, well, maybe it could be 2 years out, 3 years out, 3 years probably. So it's maybe about a third in here. We just did a strategic planning on all departments. It took us over a year. We're slow. But we wanted to talk about what to do. Then we present it to the board. And the board, in their wisdom, allowed us to do some things in client services that are so different. Because we did our homework, we did our research, we presented before the board the 1 to 3 year, I think it went out to 5 years, but 1 to 3 year strategic plan for client services, and one of ours was to go onto college campuses, just like her. And we put it in writing, and we showed the board, and the board says, okay, how much more is that going to cost us? X amount of money. Great. We're going, Saul, you and your group are going to do it, and we're going to pray in the rest. Our board has a faith line. There's a faith. You know, you got, here's your budget. Let's say it's $1 million, and you come up with maybe $800,000. Maybe. And if that vision connects and resonates with you as board members, the rest of it's going to be coming in by faith. She's got 7/8 in. See? Do you follow me? So all the things that we're trying to share with you today, again, practical things from what Cindy was saying on doing a consistent, a powerful review on your executive director. All the things that Yvonne has shared with us to stay out of trouble, you know, that's kind of like, but we want to be offensive about it, okay? From the 990s, people can come in. Any donor can come in and just say, I want a copy of your 990. You don't have to give it to them right away, but pretty quickly, they can get it. So you want to know your stuff. You're not going to be an expert in every area, board members, but you want to make sure that you help equip your ministry to do things with excellence and to do things professionally, and you're bringing that caliber of culture into this ministry. Do you follow me? Am I making sense? That's why you want to bring on the board people like you. People like you that work in the business, that have different occupations that we'll talk about. And you're bringing that mix in, and the denominator is the Holy Spirit and vision. The Holy Spirit's full of vision, isn't he? Yeah. So don't put a question mark where God puts a period. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, it says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me and our board members and our staff and this community and for the churches to come together in unity. And for the pregnancy centers to come together in unity. Do you agree? Yeah? So we're talking, my part is a mindset. See, and this is what's going to take you to whatever next level you want to be, God's called you to be, your assignment is from the Lord to be. And it comes from vision. It comes from deep inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes, that's nudged by the Lord and the heavenlies and saying, hey, you tell that group from Iowa, that group from Michigan, that group from Alaska, they can do it. They can do it. Third, this is what keeps us from being all we can be as well. You know, there's a lack of unity that can prevent us from being all that the strong ministry that you oversee. There's a lack of vision. And the third is people, so many people are fear-driven versus faith-led. Okay? Talked a little bit about this Monday when we talked about leadership, you know, personality leadership, DISC leadership, okay? This, what's really important is, let me get this here, this fear-driven versus faith-led. It says, don't let fear dictate your decision. Fuel your faith. Fuel it. And we already laid it out. How do you fuel your faith? Being in the Word. Okay? Being in church. Hanging out with the right people. Keeping your boundaries. You know, you help reach out and help those who are hurting, but you hang out with those who know you and can speak into your life that are pretty healthy. Not perfect, because there ain't no one perfect. Okay? And that's what you want to put together on a board, is dynamic men and women of all ages who are in love with Jesus Christ and have a passion for the cause of the sanctity of life and working together as one. Okay? And operating out of faith, not out of fear. You know, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of what? Of power and of love and what? A sound mind. So our decisions in every aspect of our lives are dictated by either fear or faith. There's so many boards that are fearful to go forward. We don't have enough money. We can debt. Our executive director just resigned. Okay? All right, Lord, we're going to praise you no matter what. See, you go from worry to worship to wholeness. That's the sequence. You worry because things are just falling apart under your watch. And you go, and from the natural eye, you have no idea. We got to trust that God is doing supernatural things behind the scene. That's why we go from worry to worship. Oh, Lord God, this looks a little scary, but I praise you, Lord. Trust you more than myself. Trusting you that you are working things out. That's why it's so important to read the scriptures. When you read stories about like Gideon, it says, God, you're picking me. I'm the least. Anyone? Yeah? And then all those other characters in the scriptures, those characters are a reflection of us. So we go from worry to worship. Thank you, Lord, because we're calling on things that are not as though they were. Tell me what you want us to do as a board. Tell us. Reveal it to us. Now's the times we go into prayer and fasting. To a day of retreat, whatever. And you get right with the Lord because He has got something big for you. I remember listening to Charles Stanley one time. He came into town in Tampa and he gave a great message, Yvonne. And the one thing I got out of the message, he says, God tells you three things. He tells you yes, no, or what's the third one usually? Wait. Oh, he says, God says yes, no, and the third one is, I have something better for you. That's the perspective that we need to approach our personal lives and as overseers of a very special, special ministry. And what I'm about to say is not because I'm part of the pro-life movement, but next to the church, there's no greater cause than the Pregnancy Center Sanctity of Life movement. Because if you don't have lives, you don't have people in church. You don't have what God is wanting done in this in our nation and throughout this world. So, goes on, says, so many Christians, as I said earlier, on the way to heaven but not enjoying the journey because they're fear-driven versus faith-led. So, here you go. This is a good example of two leaders, Saul and David. King Saul, he was fear-driven. The focus is on trying not to lose. That's different than winning. He didn't want to lose. Okay? Where David, he wanted to win. Okay? Do you follow me? There's a difference. There's a difference. So he lived a life defensively, reactively, cautiously, holding out on God. King Saul was a reluctant leader. I'm so glad my name is spelled S-O-L. Okay. King David was faith-led. He was faith-led. His eyes. See, we're to stare at God and glance at our situations. Stare at God and glance at our circumstances. We don't minimize them. Okay? But we stare at our source. Okay? So, something happened. They go down. I wonder if it's out of power. Here we go. Okay. So look at King David. Okay? Goliath was too big to miss, and for King Saul, Goliath was too big to beat. Okay? So David lived offensively, proactively, confidently, going all out for God. King David was a bold leader. That's why the holy boldness. That's what God calls us to live our lives. Holy boldness. That's being respectful, being humble, but humbly bold for the Lord. That's what CareNet's all about. You know, when we come here every year, I've been at 17 or 18 of these gatherings. I love them. Come and get encouraged, right? Come and you get rest, but you get fired up too, and you see how large this movement really is. And this is just a little piece of it. And with that, it emboldens us. It emboldens us. And here, I don't know how many states are represented here, but you've got all of these board members from all over the country that are here with you as board members, and that needs to be encouraging. So, going on, what I've laid out here are some things. I'm going to go through these. How are we doing on time? What time is it, Yvonne?
We are 3:30.
Okay. All right. So, this is who you are. I'm going to talk about boards. So, we are missionaries to the unborn and ambassadors for the Lord. Okay? And here, board members must have both a missionary and entrepreneurial mindset, heart, and approach. And that's exactly right. And so I wrote these out where, I mean, to be a board member, be an effective board member, I think this is the mindset that needs to be internalized. Okay? So to have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, attending church, in the Word, living out a biblical worldview, and have a fiduciary responsibility for the solvency, growth, and effectiveness of the ministry. Would you all agree with that? Those are your responsibilities. And you can't do it by yourself. It's you and the Lord, and you need a team to go with that. So the board implements and adheres to sound, solid, and proven business and ministry best practices. Again, Yvonne laid out a lot of what those best practices are that need to be met, right? Again, we're doing everything with excellence. Where you guys are stewards. You don't own it, but you steward over it. And making sure that the staff is safe, that the ministry maintains a solid professional, a solid name in a community, in a godly respect from the church community, but also a professional respect from the non-believers. Because everywhere we go, everything we do, we're a witness. We're a witness. I love touring people through our one particular center where our campus is, and I invite I invite people from the community. I don't care if they're saved or not. I want to tour them through there. I want them to come and see, and they're going to see we're very pro-life, but we're very business. We do things ethically. We do them professionally. We know what we're doing. We know what we're building, and we know our vision. Okay. They will respect you. You know, many times you hear, you can't please both God and man. Proverbs 3 says, through faithfulness, you can please both God and man. Proverbs 3, it's in there. And that means all the things I just laid out. To do things properly, in order, professionally, respectfully, taking a stand. Okay? And I'm telling you, not enough board members or staff take a strong enough stand. I don't mean a abrasive stand. I mean taking a stand out there in the public. You know? So, that's what we're looking at. Board members responsible for what? Financially supporting the ministry based on their capacity, your capacity to give for the banquets, monthly giving. So we don't have an amount. When a board member comes on, they're not told you need to give X amount each year. But this is pretty much our standard right here, based on their capacity to give. And with me in cultivating donors and things like that, I always use the thing MC squared. let me see, what does that stand for? It stands for, let's see, desire and capacity. I can't remember what the M is for now, but it's for, what is it for? That's terrible. Anyway, one is that they have a heart for the ministry, and those who have a capacity to give to the ministry. Okay, and that's what we look for. Okay, making sure bylaws are current, adhered to. Yvonne covered that. Followed, honored, including term limits. They can be delayed due to emergency or fundraising purposes. They can be delayed, but if those bylaws are written a certain way, please make sure that they're adhered to, or you're going to change them. And you can do that. And she laid it all out for us. Okay. Hire, encourage, and exhort the executive director and release them if necessary. Now, that's tough. Okay? But you're the ones who hire, and you're the ones who encourage and help equip them. And if it's not working out, you know something? Then it's not working out, and you need to make some major decisions. Okay? You just need to make some major decisions. And we talked about that, some of that at lunch. Okay. So board members responsible for approve policies and specific annual budget, along with the executive director. Okay? Do you all in your group meet yearly and look at the budget and sign off on it? I'm assuming you do that and work with the executive director. And the board is not to micromanage day-to-day. And I think there was some conversation about that earlier. You know, some of the board members had these gifts saying, I want to help that executive director, but there's a fine line. You're not supposed to be there day-to-day. But we talked about the importance of committees. You know, you have committees. You know, we have a governance committee, our finance committee. And whenever we... the day before we have our board meeting, we do a conference call. Those of us who are there on the site, we operate out of our director of finance office. And then there's about four or five board members who call in. Our CPA is close by, so a lot of times he comes in and he gives the overview. He gives an overview of our finances almost every month. But just about is every month. Okay, and there's the board, and then there's myself, and we have a COO now, and our director of finances, and we've gone over, had the meeting before the meeting. Follow me? John Maxwell talks a lot about that. So we're making sure that where are we financially? No surprises, or if there are some major things, then we know what we're going to talk about with the rest of the board the next evening when we meet. Does that make sense? So you've got to run, you know, we've got to run the ministry like a business. And the giftings, again, that you all have as a board, your main thing really is financial, is fiduciary. That's the main thing, is making sure that this ministry stays solvent. Your ministry stays solvent. And then you got the other areas as well. You know, we left off not micromanaging that executive director. It's something I too need to remember as well with our staff, not to micromanage the different departments we have and trust them enough to go ahead and do what God's equipped them to do. And it's the same thing with you as board members to oversee it. You know, looking at the finances, see which way we're going, look at the figures. You know, someone was asking me, what are the stats that you all look at, Saul? Well, look at how many salvations each month, how many babies are saved each month. Looking at, we have an abstinence program, you know, how many students we've seen that month, and we've got some other things as well. And so we're looking at those stats and looking at how are we doing. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's what you want to do. You know, if numbers wasn't important, why is there a book in the Old Testament called Numbers? Okay? Now I have to admit, number one is God. Number one is the Lord, our Savior and our Redeemer, right? Our healer. That's number one. He's number one. Yet we have to look at those stats. We have to look at those. How effective are we? How effective are we in your ministry? You've got to look at it because, you know, you're raising all that money and you have constituents, right? We have constituents. I'm going to put we in it. You as board members, me as a staff person. We have constituents and they want feedback on how effective our particular ministry is with their money. What kind of stewards are you with the money that we've given you? They don't come out right and say it, but what you're doing, they do want to support a good cause, nothing greater than the sanctity of life. However, they do vary from pregnancy center to pregnancy center. And to me, that's leadership. I want to be one of those centers that the donors are looking at and says, man, look at the fruit, the key, right? Let's speak our language now. We're looking at harvest. We're looking at fruit. Every baby saved. My goodness, that is another into the kingdom that we. But God wants that child to be raised here to live out the plans and purpose and calling and destiny that God has for that child. Well, our responsibility together, staff and board, is to rescue as many as we possibly can with God's help. Amen. That's the bottom line. If you look, why do you do this, Saul? You know, why do you do this? Yvette, why are you doing this? It's for that. It ain't just to be a board member. It's to make a difference. So, actively engage in fundraisers throughout the year, promoting the ministry, recruiting new board members and committee members with the assistance of the executive director. Can you all agree with that? And probably every executive director I've ever spoken to said, well, they would sure love their board to do more of that. So you have your sphere of influence. So you tap into it. And again, it's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. Look at the big picture. And I call it through accomplishing through cultivation by taking them to coffee or meals, offering a tour of the facility that the executive director can provide. I remember what M stands for. It's motivation. So you have MC squared. You have people, you have individuals who are motivated because they love the cause, but not everyone has the C, the capacity to give to the extent that we would love people to give. So MC squared, that means MC to the nth degree that God would lead us to some of those major donors, but also to the other donors. You know, Dr. Wilkinson a few years ago, he did his research and said a good solid pregnancy center ministry, it costs maybe about $1,200 to help save a baby. So you put a figure on that, right? A baby worth is priceless, but about $1,200 helps save a baby. Well, we started implementing that, and that's $100 a month. Well, now we have widows and others, young people, they can do $100 a month. So you put a dollar figure on a child, and our $1,200 givers have just hugely increased because it's manageable, okay, and it's significant. It means something. Does that make sense? So we're going to have to raise it because we've added nurses and all this other stuff that we're doing, okay? But still, that's what you all need to be thinking of, you and your executive director, to put those labels like that on there, okay? And some of sonogram. Sonogram is maybe $250. For $250, you help save a life. Because 9 out of 10 times, the mom's going to choose life after they see their sonogram, their baby on the sonogram because they bond. Not every time, but we're seeing about 9 out of 10 times. Was there a question? No. No, not the way we do it. You want some board members on there because you want the board to be involved and to stay aware of what's happening. And then you have some staff members, and then you select some of your donors, okay, that have a heart and have a gifting for that particular committee, what that committee is doing, you know, from whether it's development or whatever. No, I think every one of our committees has board, staff, and some of our donors on them. Yeah. That way, remember, you're growing. You're growing your ministry. You're introducing it. You're cultivating future board members. All that. No. Good question. On these committees, does that volunteer have to sign all the same type of things that a board member has to? No. Mm-mm. No, we're going to see how they work out, though. See how they work. See how they work with others. See the knowledge that they have. And then go from there. Good question. So, here, I'm going to say something here. Oh, the what I put here about taking them to coffee or meals. I remember when I first got there. Here, you know, I'm coming from being a therapist, but I'd been in business and doing other things over my lifetime. And when I started, I didn't realize coming over that I would go from being a therapist to a fundraiser, because that's really what most executive directors do. And so after a few months, you know, I took my list of 100 top donors and started calling them. That's what I did. I just called them, introduced myself. I'm Saul, the new executive director here. My title is president, CEO, either one, either title. That's another thing, though. Titles are important. You may want to think about changing the title from executive director to president, CEO. Think about it. So I called them, and as I was having breakfast and lunch with them, I said, you know, I'm inviting them. And I thought, I'm going to go to the board, and I asked the board if they'll give me an okay to spend like $250 a month to have meals, coffee, meals, whatever, with our donors. And you know what our board said? No. They said no. They said there's no limit on what you're going to spend going out and having lunches and breakfasts and meals and coffee with the donor base. They were very smart, very intuitive. Half the time, to this day, they pay. They won't let me pay. But other times, I tell them, I said, look, they look at me and I said, look, I have the okay from the board to take you to lunch. Or sometimes we do dinner with some of these couples. We'll spend a little bit more. But man, now we're bonding. We're bonding. And I said, and this is our just small way of thanking you for partnering with us in this ministry. Now, you all as board members could do the same. You could do the same. And if you wanted us, the ministry, to help pay for it, we'll do it. We'd do it. Yes?
Personal handwritten notes go on like
too. I can't hear you.
Personal handwritten notes are
executive
directors of a lot
of our big donors. Yep. Absolutely. She said, personal handwritten notes, that'll never go out of date. You know what's new, though? Texting. Some of our major donors. I'll text some of our major pastors. We got some pastors in here. We text. We're men, too. So we're men, you know, bottom line. I'll text the pastor and I say, hey, thank you for this recent gift or this major donor. I'll just say, thank you so much for this recent gift. God bless you, and they'll text back, says, no problem. Sometimes I'll say, hey, can we get together? Most of the time, they go, no. They won't say it that way, but they're too busy. They're saying, Saul, and then the other thing I use, besides texting, are phone calls. I'll stay in my car in front of our center for 3 hours and make phone calls. I can do more than go in there in that center for 2 days. It's like quicksand. So I'm out there, I'm making these calls, and I'm covering so much ground, calling these pastors, calling these donors, calling other organizations that we do ministry with, and calling and thanking them, just even leaving messages on there, because you don't get that much anymore. Emails are just, you know, they kill you. They're just overwhelming. They get tons of emails. So it's either text or I call. I will send some handwritten notes, but not as much as I used to. It's quick. They want something quick. If I know there's those pastors and those donors who are processors, they love to talk, those are the ones I'm going to spend more time with because they want to process. And it's not always the ones you think. Sometimes a man is more the processor than the woman is. And that's what you've got to discern. So again, I'm sharing this for you all as board members that you know people who want them to join you in this cause of saving babies, saving souls, reaching teens, transforming lives. And you take that time. If you could set up a meeting with you and that person or that couple and your executive director and get together. Bring them down. Tour. I love tours. We got people who have given us for years, you know this, and they won't tour. They won't even take the time to tour. Major churches. You can never get the pastor to come and tour. But once they do, they look and they see what you really do. Because I thought I knew. Because we were donors. We supported the walk every year. We supported the banquet every year. We invited people. We helped raise money for this ministry that we believed in. And I thought I knew all about it. Man, I went to work there. There's a lot. There's a lot behind what goes on in the pregnancy center ministry. It's like it's a corporation. It's a mini corporation, y'all. You know that. It is. You have these different departments. You have these people, and they're out there serving. Yes. I call us the Christian Health Department, by the way. That's who we are. We're the Christian Health Department. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they really do come up.
That's great. Wow. I have to get to know how you do that. So you're saying that they invite pastors once a year and just have sandwich?
Soup and sandwich.
Where do you host it? Where is it done?
In the center.
In the center. So how many pastors do you get in there?
Oh, we probably get about 20.
Wow. That's wonderful. About 20 pastors. That's good. Excellent. And those are some of the creative things. And you're the board chair, aren't you? Yeah. So those are some of the creative things that you all can help with. All right. The boards that collaborate with the executive director to form those special committees we talked about. And board members made up of proven leaders who are visionaries and all about building and growth in order to save more babies and all that. Now, here are some of the professions that I highly recommend. And I think most centers will here. So you got a doctor, an attorney, and a CPA. I think that is what you shoot for minimum to have on the board. Because with all those three professions, throughout the year, you're going to need their expertise, one way or the other. And until you get someone, you know, you have to call and get some assistance. But those are who you want on there. I like marketing, technology people, real estate, because they build and they know a ton of people, business owners, entrepreneurs, and others. I don't have pastors up there. Most of the time, those pastors who are growing their churches they're so busy they don't have time to come on to the board. But there's a wonderful pastor friend that I know from Sarasota that's here with us today. And he's one of those that's entrepreneurish, and he makes the time to be on that board down in Sarasota. Praise God for him. So does this make sense? I don't have teachers on there. We have a hard time getting principals. We had a principal for a year or so, and then she got so busy. We wanted that because we do a lot of we've spoken about 130,000 students in our schools. Well, and, you know, and it's an uphill battle. They don't want us in the schools. But in our case in Florida, do you realize the way the law it reads is they've got to teach the health department, health classes have to teach comprehensive sex education, and they have to teach abstinence until marriage. It's in the law. So we're the experts on abstinence until marriage. So that's great, because we've been doing this now for about 18 years. Okay. Any other professions that you all would recommend that you add to this? Any others? Yes. Any? Okay. Well, The main thing is that they're entrepreneurish in their thinking. Now, here's something that this may be a little controversial. I recommend hiring a male development specialist to help cultivate churches. Males can get into churches easier than women. But I also know some female development people throughout this country that are dynamite. They get in there really well. They're able to do it. But it helps. It just helps where I call up a pastor and says, let's go have some coffee, right? One-on-one. Because I don't go out with any of our female donors one-on-one. I won't do it. Okay? So with pastors, and most pastors, you know, they're not going to go and have coffee one-on-one with a woman. Not anymore. Okay? So I recommend having a separate special events department. Okay? That started before I came, BS, before Saul, okay? That was started. Our board, it started from the board. The board recognized that if we had just one person who would just focus on the walk for life, then first the walk for life, and then expand it to focusing on the banquet, and not take them off to go do other things, with that intentionality and focus, we could grow the walk. So what's happened, we hired Gail, 21 years ago, and now she has 4 people in that department, and our walk is a big walk. It's over $650,000. Why? Because it's intentional and because there's systems in place and you've got churches who are on board, and it really does help to have longevity. She's made contacts over the years. I've been in that community for over 50 years. Okay? So does that make sense? No one is any better than any other pregnancy center ministry, but some of the major differences, vision, intentionality, and making sure that you hire the right person for the right position. Okay? All right? That's a big part of it. So, anyway, those events help fund client services. And that's the major reason for those. So our vision is to have, read this with me, an abortion-free, salvation-full, discipled, and healed community. That's our vision, okay? And that's your vision. That really is. So with that, where are we? What time is it?
We are, we'll say quarter after, so we're ready okay. for questions.
So let's do some Q&A, and then we'll end with this one, if I can pull it up, a video that I want to show you. But go ahead and ask us anything that you want to discuss. We've got about 30 minutes. Okay? Yes.
A question, a couple of things I thought of from your list is we started doing an annual report to have available for donors.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very simple that has those numbers you're talking about, but it also just provides basic information for anybody who wants to give. They want to know what they're giving toward.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of giving them a name, which is, you know, form, it just gives them pictures and statistics and stuff about what we do. And then the other thing we're starting is endowments. Are huge. If you have donors who want to leave a legacy, the best way to do that is the endowments.
Okay. All right.
And with the idea of reports, it's easy not trying to get all of them, but it's also extremely important to have the services we give. At Parenthood, we don't believe that one service greatly more important than the other. We think that the childbirth classes, the parenting classes, the clothing support, all of that is important and to be counted. Sure, scans are important and pregnancy tests are important, but every touch with a client. And we're certainly welcoming the male client through the door. We want to count him too. And the male client and the Get Ready to Be a Dad class is as important to us as the scans. We're kind of unique that way. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, what do we have to help you with that? For instance, if you are looking at medical costs, we have a medical manual, which we're refreshing. And there was a page in there that lets you know what it'll cost for scans. The paper, the gel, the, gosh, everything. Not just the machine, the Q-tips, everything you need. So we try to get that for you. especially say the Dad's Initiative. The Dad's Initiative is big at the conference this year because we know from statistics we've paid for and put up on the web so you can advertise them in your community that the men is a significant source on whether the baby lives or dies. So, obviously, we've got to reach the man. We've been trying to reach the man for a long time, and he's been ducking. And a lot of the reason is our centers are pretty woman, and he's awkward walking in there. So now the new look is ground floor. Let's find out what's going to drive them in. And maybe your center will have some answers to share with the whole community. What we do is when something works, we share it. About 15 years ago, somebody figured out if we put baby bottles around town, people put money in it, we can raise money. And that idea spread like wildfire. And so if you crack the code on the men for your community, we're going to want to hear it next year. Did I hit the answer on that? And we can tell you, I'll get you, that STD testing is very important. Scans, ultrasound scans are very important. All the typical services, the classes, the support groups, all that has been proven extremely effective. What we don't know is how do we get the men to love their babies? We're working on it. I don't think we can make them, but we can make it easier for them. So our whole movement's new. We haven't been doing this a whole long time, unfortunately. The laws of the land changed, and now we're the answer. And we're making a movement up as we go along. I thought we'd be done by now. I thought people would come to their senses, and the Supreme Court's ridiculous decision would be overturned. Not so. Yes. Correct. One size doesn't fit all. And what works in one community might not work the same way in the next community. You have to become the specialist on your community. I've noticed that on college campuses, I could make suggestions for what works on one campus, but each one's unique. Each city's unique. Each region is unique. So you need to become the specialist in your city and county. No easy way, but this is a mission field. You had a question? Great. Urban. Yes. And we put that in your email last week. And it's also up on the CareNet website. So the general information's there, but you're still going to have to break it down for your community. We're trying to get this stuff to you, but you got to read your emails.
asked, but the highest percentage of women that go to Planned Parenthood are going for STD tests, not abortions. So they're getting them as the client first. So if we can get them in our door first for STI testing,
yes,
then they're going to repeat if they have find themselves pregnant. We want them in our door first, not Planned Parenthood store first. So that's why that's how we found that adding STI testing has helped. Yeah, we just closed one that was. Oh. So I would encourage you, yes, it's worth it. The STI
STI for your community.
Yeah.
Anything else we share, talk about?
Yeah.
Different topic.
As our ministry is expanding, would you recommend we, as part of the board in our board meetings, we usually have our executive director there, but as we are expanding, we have a satellite office now, and talk about these different directors within the office. Would you recommend that
okay, your executive director is probably a board member with non-voting rights? Okay, so she's at your meeting. You wouldn't exclude her any more than you'd exclude any other board member.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Then her staff would not need to be at the board meeting, and it's just not appropriate. But sometimes it's very interesting for the board to have different staff member or volunteers come at the beginning of the meeting for 5 or 10 minutes and talk about the job and what they're doing. As a board member, I just love to hear that and meet the people. And then we let them go home. As a board member, you get the short end of the stick. You never see the clients. You never get to see the babies. You don't get to see the tears or the hugs. You just get to look at the hard stuff. Yeah. 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 Have them in and let them go. But you do have... you're one employee, the director, and you don't want to get in her pool. So, yeah, I wouldn't have all the staff at the meeting all the time.
Yeah.
Note to the file. Let us help you get into compliance. And before you leave, give me your card or a name and phone number on a piece of paper. Certainly we want to help you. Our standards probably aren't as hard as maybe somebody's made it out to be. We don't have many. We have the statement of faith. We've got standards of affiliation. And we've got a best practices, 3 documents. And it's not hard, and we want to help you hit the bar. Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. That's honest. Did you have a question?
So we have 3 board members stepping off, and that leaves us down to maybe 3 board members right now. And we've just voted in 4 new board members. And we received an application for another one. My question is 2 parts. We reviewed the application at our last meeting, and I've had several contacts with this individual. I highly recommended her to the board. I was actually the one to encourage her to fill out a board application, and in her testimony part, it was a very work-based answer that made us pause and question, basically, her relationship. Does she have a genuine relationship with Christ? And so we're going to obviously spend time in prayer and continuing the discussion. Wonder if you had any suggestions with that. And then I have another question. Should I ask that now or after?
No, let me answer one at a time. It's late then. And so I'll jump in. In some denominations, it's very easy to talk about our relationship with Christ. Everybody kind of knows. And in other denominations, other ways to worship the Lord, it might be more private. The words might not flow as easy. So I would suggest a one-on-one conversation and show her the CareNet statement of faith and say, this is what we believe. Is this what you believe? And that's what I think. You did the same way.
Well, we actually said not to. The person isn't currently a donor. Nobody has any connection as far as network with this person. I met him at a fundraiser, and he found out what Adopt was about. He was extremely excited and had a family situation where
committee member first. That's a good idea.
Because it is awkward when you find out maybe he isn't in line, and then you have to ask him to
go on. Oh, there is just nothing more awkward than to say, would you like to be on our board? And then say, you're not good enough to be on our board. So, not a good thing. Committees are a great way to try people out, and we talked about that. And a mistake I see sometimes is you're so appreciative of a very large donor, you think you'll put them on the board for a reward. And you know what? That might not be the best idea. It might be just best to leave them as a donor. Saul, do you want to speak into that one? I bet you. I just bet you want to.
What was it that major donors, you've got to vet everyone. You've got to vet them. And besides, you don't know what the real reason that they're wanting to get involved on a board. You really don't know. So you got to think about your culture that you have, your existing culture. You've got to think about their motivation to give and all that. So, yeah. Yeah, people come. That's right. People come with different agendas, and that's exactly right. That's why, again, we need to be very, very thoughtful, prayerful before you. And remember, we have a personnel committee. The board has has its own personnel committee. So I guess there was a question earlier. Is there any committees that's just board members? That's one. And they're the ones who help vet the that person. You know, say, so like I said, most of them I recommend. Some they'll go ahead and recommend. Most of them I recommend. And then we have breakfast or lunch with that person, and there's usually me and two or three of the board members. And they're on that. Most of them are on that little personnel committee. They like to interview that potential new board member. They like that. Others could care less, you know. They like it. So we meet, we vet them, they fill out, we like them, they fill out the application. We know they're already givers. I've already talked to them. I've screened them about their love for the Lord, because I'm not going to recommend anyone unless they're in church, they're under the covering, they're godly men and women, and their family seems to be fairly good, because you've got to look at all that. And then said, well, then I'll introduce them to the board, and let's talk, okay? So that's real important.
My favorite board committee is, it meets very briefly, just every once in a while. It's train the new board member. And I always volunteer to train the new board member or members, because I've got a roller bag full of information to train the new board member on. It fits. And it's a one-person committee, the director and I, two-people committee. And do train new board members. Train them in the history of the center. There is nothing worse than sitting at the fundraising banquet and smiling over at somebody and say, oh, have you been involved with the city long, center long? And they say, I was founder, you know. And so you want to have just a training time, the history of the center. They want to see, you want them to see the policies manual, so they know what the policies of the board are. If you give them the policy manual, they won't read it. So you sit down with them and go over the policies. You give them a tour of the operations of the center and give them the last finances. And just note to the file, just because you could read QuickBooks doesn't mean somebody else can. I was with a very honest lawyer who looked me in the eye and said, I can't read QuickBooks. And I thought, of course, not everybody can do that. So explain the financial documents and just get somebody ready to go to the table. The history of the organization, how to read the finances. Open it up.
Anything else?
That was my second question. Yeah. We are bringing on new board members. You know, just do we train them ourselves? Do we bring in a person from CareNet to train at some point? How often should we do that?
The board can train its own board member one at a time, and it would be a board member and the director, too. CareNet would be glad to train your center every couple years, depending on how quick you rotate off. And when we come in to train your center, we spend a lot of time before we get there learning your center. Each consultation is individual for your center. We figure out where you are. We send paperwork to your board members asking them a lot of different questions, and it comes back to me, nobody else on the board. So we kind of know what's going on. We talk to your director, what are you doing, and then we design the material specifically for where you are. Any...
Do you have a packet that you put together that would instruct the center on how to train that board member?
Just training a board member with the things I just said would... You know, the history, here's our finances, here's our procedures manual. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does cost a fee. Yeah. And you could just contact any of the CareNet consultants or myself, and we go over that with you. You can't just, you know, airfare varies from city to city, and you have to put us up and feed us, so pick a skinny consultant. In Alaska. Okay, anything else that's fuzzy? Any other questions? Any good ideas you can share with us?
Yeah, thank you. You know, here, this last piece is on the very back of the handout. And I was going to show a video, but I think this is probably more pertinent. Beginning of that, there's a scripture, right? It's Elisha. Can I use this real quickly? And you can see that. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. That's in 1 Kings. And so a great story that goes along with, and you maybe have heard it, is this: on February 19, 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernan Cortez set sail from Mexico with an entourage of 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers. The indigenous population upon his arrival was approximately 5 million people. So from a purely mathematical standpoint, the odds were stacked against him by a ratio of 7,541 to 1.
Two previous expeditions had failed to even establish a settlement in the New World, yet Cortez conquered much of the South American continent. And the way he did it, we need to be aware of. And we do it in our own way, and that is what Cortez is reported to have done after landing was to issue an order that turned his mission into an all-or-nothing proposition. Burn the ships. Burn the ships. As his crew watched their fleet of ships burn and sink, they came to terms with the fact that retreat was not an option. There is a lesson to be learned. 9 times out of 10, failure is resorting to plan B when plan A gets too risky, too costly, or too difficult. And that really is the bottom line. And so that's why most people are living their plan B. They didn't burn the ships. Plan A, people don't have a plan B. Plan A people don't have a plan B. It's a plan A or bust. They would rather crash and burn going after their God-ordained dreams and succeed in something else. And so there's more to that. But when you read it, I know it depends on personality. Certain personalities, man, let's just get after it, crash and burn. Others are very cautious, okay? But either way, God calls us to be risk takers. As Christians, we're to be risk takers. And that can be any temperament, anything, anywhere from our background. But we need to burn the ship. And ours is, we're taking a stand for righteousness. We're taking a stand for the unborn. We're taking a stand for those women and families who are hurting. We're taking a stand for them. And we've talked about all the different things that are done in the different pregnancy centers, all the policies and procedures. The main thing is a heart sold out on Christ and on the people that he wants us to go and bring into the kingdom. That's why we're here. You as board, those of us on staff. That's why the pro-life movement and the sanctity of life is so, it's paramount to our God, his children. So it has been exciting for Yvonne and I to be with you this afternoon and this morning. And, God bless you all. We pray that you go back. And it's a long day. I know it gets tiring. We covered a lot. But we pray that you go back and live it up for Christ and be encouraged, because all the things that have been learned here, my goodness, with the Holy Spirit, we apply it in our respective mission fields, and you watch what God would do. You want to close us in prayer?
Lord, I thank you for these men and women that are standing in the gap. We're trying to represent you in the community. We know there's lives at stake, men and women and babies, future generations. God, please empower us. Please shore up our weakness. Please give us the courage to do what nobody else in America has had to do until just this recent time. Culture's changing. We're doing pregnancy tests on people that they're not sure if they're a man or a woman. And Lord, things are very strange. Give us the grace and the boldness of Jesus Christ to walk the dirt of this world and make a difference. In his name we pray. Amen.